难得度过一天。
Well, we give thanks to you for giving us a peaceful
day. 我们感谢你，借着你的话语，让我们得到亮光，看清认识你更清楚。
Thank you that through your word, light has been shone in our hearts so we could see.
也让我们对自己有更深的认识。
So that we may know ourselves better.
虽然我们内心充满着平安跟喜乐，但是我们深深的觉得我们不配得你的恩典。
Our hearts were filled with joy and peace, but we know we are unworthy of your blessings.
主啊，虽然我们站在你的面前在服侍你，但是我们觉得我们真的是不配来服侍你。
Although we stand in front of you and serve you, we know we do not deserve to serve you.
求主你继续在带领我们，让我们的灵性能够不断的成长。
May you continue to guide our spiritual growth.
让我们的服侍能够更蒙你的悦纳。
So that our service would be even more pleasing to you.
愿主您的名得到荣耀。
So that all would may be done to glorify your name.
阿门。
阿门。
请坐。
Please have a seat.
啊，昨天我们学习到十一章啊，那我们现在来进到以西结书十二章。
Yesterday we studied Ezekiel chapter 11, and today we'll begin chapter 12.
以西结书十二章是讲被掳的预兆。
This chapter deals with the prophecies of captivity.
所以其实神用很多的方法已经预告以色列百姓如果不再回头，他们将会王国会被掳的，圣殿会被拆掉。
We see here God uses many methods to tell the Israelites if they don't return back to God, the temple would be torn apart.
所以神其实是有给他们一段宽容的时间。
So we see God gave them a grace period.
那这个宽容的时间过了神的愤怒就下来。
But after the grace period is over, God's anger descended upon them.
所以即使神要实行他的公义，其实神也是先彰显他的慈爱，让他们有机会悔改。
Before God exercised his judgment, he gave them a chance to repent.
那十二章的第一节到十六节。
In chapter 12, verses 1 to 6.
这里神命以西结先知做一些动作来预表以色列百姓将要迁移他们的本地本族。
God commanded Ezekiel to have few actions to tell the Israelites they would be relocated.
从第三节开始就是叫他要预备行李。
In verse 3, he tells Ezekiel to pack up his luggage.
然后在晚上在以色列百姓的面前看不见的时候就要出去出城去。
And at night, when it was dark, people cannot see him, he would go out of the city.
所以用很实际的行动来告诉他们将要发生的事情。
And with actual actions, God told Israelites what would happen.
我们看第七节。
Verse 7.
我就照着所吩咐的去行，白天带着我的物件，好像预备掳去使用的物件。所以白天要预备行李啊。
And so Ezekiel here was bringing his belongings together during the daytime.
好像我们来参加这个讲习会之前，要把行李打包好这样。
It's like before we came, we had to prepare our luggages.
那如果我们家人看到我们在打包行李，都知道我们将要出门了。
And when our family members saw us packing up, they knew it's time for us to depart.
所以在大家看得见的白天他要预备物件，预备他要用的东西。
And in the day, he prepared what he would need later on.
然后到了晚上，我用手挖通的墙，天黑的时候就当着他们的眼前搭在肩头上带出去。
When the night came, he dug through the wall and he brought things on his shoulder through to the other side.
那第八节开始就神就的话临到他。
In verse 8.God spoke to him.
说这些悖逆之家要问你说你到底做什么。
So that's the rebellious house, what are you doing?
那神就解释给以西结先知。
And the Lord explained to Prophet Ezekiel.
所以以西结先知能够传达这个讯息。
So that he may pass on the message.
所以下面主说，这是关乎耶路撒冷的君王和他周围以色列全家的预表。所以这个动作是一个预表。
He says, this is a symbol concerning the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel.
那十一节说，我怎样行，他们所遭遇的必怎样，他们必被掳去。所以这个预表代表他们要被掳。
So this is a symbol or a sign, to tell them about the fact that they will be carried away later.
那为什么在天黑的时候才走呢？
Why would he tell Ezekiel to leave by night?
十二节最后说，他必蒙住脸，眼看不见地。
Verse 12 tells us that he would cover his eyes so he could not even see the ground.
也就是这个王将来要被带到加勒底人巴比伦之地，他要死在那里，却看不见那地。
Meaning the king would be brought to Chaldean, he would pass away in Babylon.
然后从十五节开始。
Verse 15.
我要将他们四散在列国，分散在列邦的时候，他们就知道我是神。
When he will scatter them among the nations, they would know God is the God.
十六节，我要留下他们几个人，免得刀尖、饥荒、瘟疫，使他们在所造的各国中述说一切可证的事，人就知道我是神。所以有几个人要留下来做见证。
He would spare a few of them, to testify for God.
那是这些以色列百姓还存活的能够得到警戒。
So that, the remaining Jews.Would be warned of this.
所以他不会再重复这个错误。
And they would not repeat the same thing.
那从十七节到二十节。
Then in verses 17 to 20.
就告诉以色列百姓以西结啊，对这个吃喝十八节，我们看十八节。
And let's read verse 18.
说你要吃饭必胆战，喝水必惶惶忧虑。
You'll eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and anxiety.
他要以西结先是这样做。
He wants Ezekiel to do this.
那这个动作本身就是预表以色列百姓将会灾难来的时候，他们吃饭必要忧虑，喝水必惊慌因为其中居住的众人所行强暴的事。
This is a sign of what would happen when they are taken captive because of the violence of the land.
所以用这个实际的动作来预表。
And he used these behaviors as a sign.
然后从二十一节到二十八节。
And we go on to verses 21 to 28.
神的话临到以西结说，审判即将来到。
He says the judgment will come.
因为这个。当时的假先知常常是自己在说预言。
At the time, there were false prophets who spoke on their own.
那当然自己讲的预言就不会实现了。
Of course, what they said out of their own mind would not come to pass.
所以我们要判别我们所看的异象或者异梦是不是从神来的，有一个方法就是看它会不会实现。
So one way to tell if a dream is from God is to see if it is fulfilled.
那在二十二节哈
，verse 22
说以色列地有一个俗语说日子迟延，一切异象都落空了。
Now there's a saying that the days are prolonged and every vision fails.
也就是说日子一天天过去了，所有先知讲的异象都变成空，这变成俗语，就是说常常这样了先知讲的不会实现，所以以后先知讲话，他就说日子拖延，你就看了不会实现了。
So it tells us that there are so many prophecies that they start to feel that you're just saying that they'll never come to pass.
但二十三节神说这个俗语将会要止息。
This idiom, God says, will be stopped.
因为日子临近，一切异象都要应验。
Because when the day is near, then all the visions will be fulfilled.
因为这个预言是从神来的，所以一定会应验。
Because this prophecy comes from God, and it will be fulfilled.
所以二十四节就解释以色列家中不再有虚假的异象和奉承的占卜。
24, there shall be no more false vision or flattering divination.
这个是当时这个俗语的来源。
And that explains the source of this idiom.
那神的异象一定会实现，是二十五节，我神说话必定成就，不再迟延。
Verse 25 says, I, the Lord, it will no longer be postponed.
那二十六节神又说啊，二十七节哈。
27.
以色列家人说，他所见的异象是关乎末后许多的日子所说的预言，是指着啊极远的时候。29节。
29.
你要对他们说，主如此说，我的话没有一句单言，我所说的必定成就。
28. It says.None of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God.
我们知道灵恩运动里面呢、啊，有很多人啊说他们有所谓说预言的恩赐。
We know in the charismatic movement, many people claim to speak in tongues.
啊，那有的人把它统计啊，发现说他们讲的预言啊，大概一半以上都不会实现。
Some people made a count and said that half of what they prophesied.Would not come.
啊，那第二个特色，他们讲的这预言都是地上的事情。
And the other calculation was that one third of what they prophesied about are things of the world.
啊，那人就问那个灵恩运动的这个发起人。
So they asked the founder of this movement.
啊，他是富勒神学院的一个教授。
He was a professor at the Fuller Institute.
哦，那他说啊，如果这些预言实现，你们都死光了。
And,
这是他的解释。
He said that, well, by the time these prophecies come true, you would all have passed away.
那其实如果预言是从神来的，一定会实现的。
But we know if it's truly from God, the prophecy will.
所以当时的先知在以色列百姓当中已经没有这个什么 credibility 啊，已经没有这个信用了，因为他讲的全部都不会实现。
But here it seems that the prophets are losing their credibility because they hadn't seen the fulfillment of the prophecy.
但现在以西结是真的先知啊，他一定会实现。
But we know Ezekiel is a true prophet.
好，那我们现在看从十三章到二十四章。
Let's take a look now at chapters 13 to 24.
这个是比较细部的解释啊，为什么神允许这么严厉的惩罚临到耶路撒冷城？
This is a more detailed explanation of why God allowed the punishment to come upon Jerusalem.
当然，这十一章的圣经就是在解释他们所犯的罪。
So, in other words, the 11 chapters describe the iniquities or the sins of Jerusalem.
那神的惩罚相当的重。
God's punishment was very heavy.
圣城被占领。
The holy city was occupied.
圣殿被拆毁。
The temple was destroyed.
选民被掳。
The people were taken captive and were killed.
这个是整个旧约圣经里面最凄惨的一件事情。
This is the most severe destruction in the Old Testament.
所以十三章到二十四章在解释啊这个原因。
This series of chapters explain the reason behind it.
那这个十三章主要是在讲啊，因为当时啊这个假先知的误导。
In chapter 13, it describes the false leadership of the prophets.
因为我们知道旧约时代他们没有圣经可以念。
We know in the Old Testament they didn't have the Holy Scriptures.
啊，所以他们要对神的旨意明白，要借着先知。
So in order to understand the will of God, they relied on their prophets.
神的话临到先知。
The Lord's word came upon the prophets.
然后先知就到处去传扬神的旨意。
They would go about preaching the will of God.
所以先知差不多是介于神与人之间一个很重要的一个工人。
The role of a prophet is between God and man.
好，那当然新约时代我们每一个人可以都说是都做先知的工作。
Now in the New Testament, we are all considered prophets.
啊，因为神的灵降到我们身上，而且我们有圣经可以读，我们可以直接从圣灵的启示明白神的旨意。
Not only is the Holy Spirit upon us, we have the Bible to read for ourselves what the will of God is.
但是在旧约时代，没有圣经，也没有圣灵降在他们身上，所以也一定要借着先知。
But in the Old Testament, there was neither the Holy Spirit or the Bible, so they had to rely on the prophets.
好，那在第十三章里面讲先知的几个很显明的错误。
In chapter 13, records some very outrageous faults of these prophets.
我们看第三节。
Verse 3.
主如此说，愚顽的先知有祸了，他们随从自己的心意，却一无所见。
It says, Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing.
这里说先知一无所见。
You says these prophets have seen nothing.
这个是什么意思？
What does that mean?
也就是从神没有领受什么。
It means that they had not received anything from God.
圣经里面在提到以利啊，神的末世不常有神的末世。
And the Bible records about prophet Eli that in his last years the words of God was few.
那这个对一个先知来讲，这是一个很大的灵性的退步。
For a prophet, this describes a deteriorated state.
因为如果不常有神的末世，那要向百姓传讲什么神的旨意呢？
If he received few words from God, then what could he pass on to the people?
因为神的旨意就是从神的末世来的，在当时的世代。
At that time, the will of God came about in forms of God's revelation.
所以大卫在诗篇里面说，神的意念向我是何等的多。
And we also read that David wrote in the Psalms, "The Lord revealed much to me."
真的，有时候我们比较亲近神的时候，你发现你的内心里面充满着感动。有很多的这个我们在写文章的时候说是灵感，但是在属灵上就从神来那个意念一直出来。
We may also identify this the same sentiment when we feel spiritually closer to God, that we have more inspirations, so to speak, from God.
那这个意念是从神感动来的，所以这个意念有时候会对一个人有很大的造就。
Because these words are from God or inspirations, and these would edify the receiver.
那有时候我们在讲道理哈，有时候发现很困难，但是真的圣灵在感动那个神的意念一直出来的时候，非常发现这不是一件难事。
And when we have to prepare a message to deliver, then it would not be as difficult.
那我们如果说要讲一篇道理啊，只是传达一个知识性的讯息，现在来不讲不困难了。你就把那电脑一打开来，字一进去，所有荆棘都跑出来。
If giving a sermon is just to pass on some knowledge, then it would be easy at the time of a computer database.
但是最困难就是那个道理要怎么样把神的意念讲得很清楚，跟现实的世代当时的需要连在一起，这个最难。
But what the hardest step is to connect the message to the real life situations and to describe that clearly.
是神的话对当代的信徒能够有帮助，使他们的信仰真的能够属灵化。
So that God's message would be able to be used by the people, and that the belief is spiritual.
那这需要有从神来的意念，也等于说需要有神的给我们的意象。
So that step requires inspiration or words from God.
这个是最重要，但是这最难。
This is the most crucial and the hardest.
那如果这个有了，每一次的证道，每一篇的讲道都可以感动很多人，造就很多人。
If we have this, then each time we give a sermon, many people will be touched and moved.
所以我们在教会里面传讲讯息，这个是我们跟神的关系的一种表达。
So when we deliver a message in church, it is a manifestation of our relationship with God.
如果我们跟神的关系好，这个神的感动、神的意念多，我们表达出来会是一个很丰盛的讯息，让人的灵性得到感动、得到造就。
If we ourselves are closely connected with God, then what we say would very easily manifest the glory of God.
因为这就是当时旧约时代先知的工作。
Because that is what the role of the prophets were in the Old Testament.
所以有时候我们在教会里面，如果处理太多的行政问题啊、事情啊，或者太多一些琐碎的事情啊，有时候我们跟神的关系好像有一点疏远。圣经是很熟，但是那个意念没有。
Sometimes we're so busy with many administrative work at church, even though we are familiar with the Bible, then our connection with the Word of God becomes loose.
所以常常就提醒我们要再一次回到神的身边来亲近神。
So we need to remind ourselves to come back to God.
不要因为服事而影响我们跟神真正的那种亲密，从神领受属灵的感动跟意念。
And not let our physical service church hinder our the revelations of words and inspirations from God.
所以当时的先知啊，对当时百姓的属灵的光景哦，从神来没有什么意念，没有神的神的感动，所以没有什么讯息啊，能够真的提醒他们。
And these prophets did not have any inspiration from God.
所以在讲这个耶路撒冷的属灵光景十三章开始，第一个就提到先知 的问题。
So before he described the situation in Jerusalem, he started with the prophets.
那在第五节就提到这些先知没有第四节第五节没有尽到他的职责。
In verses 4 and 5, it says that the prophets were not doing their job.
那先知的职责是什么？
What was their job?
第五节提到两点。
Verse 5 describes 2 points.
第一个是独挡破口。
One is to go up into the gaps.
那第二个是重修墙垣。
The second is to restore the wall.
那如果这两件事情都做得好，那他们就当神的日子能够站在镇上站得住。
If they could do these well, then they would be able to stand firm in the battle.
那独挡破口当然就是像摩西一样或者说像以西结先知我们查考过的站在以色列百姓的破口就是他们在信仰上的缺失在神面前代求。
Standing in the gap, as we studied before, means just as Moses and Ezekiel, we could stand where the belief is lacking.
撒母耳是一个先知他说我断不停止为你们祷告以至于得罪神。
Samuel was a prophet and he said, I will pray to God unceasingly so that you would not offend God.
这个就堵住破口。
That is also a way to fill the gap.
那重修墙垣就是建立他们的信仰。
To build the wall means to build people's faith.
那这个建立他们的信仰是真理上的造就。
And this is a spiritual edification.
所以一个先知的两个主要的工作是为百姓的信仰代祷，然后用真理来建立他的信仰。
So the two roles are the prophets must pray for the people and to spiritually, with words, cultivate them.
那这两个没有做，就是先知的责任没有尽到。
They have not done neither of these.
所以以色列百姓变成在神面前有破口，变成他的墙垣是破裂的，因此当然在神的面前站不住。
And so because they failed to fill the gap, the wall is collapsed and they could not stand firm in the battle.
因此这也是以色列百姓信仰不能够恢复一个重要原因。
The Israelites' faith could not be restored, and that was the reason.
那从第八节一直到二十三节，在讲这些当时的假先知充满着虚假。
Verses 8 to 23 said that their service was full of falsehood.
那虚假是什么？
What is falseness?
就是他们所传的讯息是他们自己的意思，这不是从神来的。
Falseness is when they preach according to what they thought, not what God thinks.
我们看第十节。
Verse 10.
因为他们诱惑我的百姓说平安，其实没有平安，就像有人立起墙壁，他们用倒用未泡透的灰抹上。人最喜欢的当然是听这个平安
了。People like to hear about words of comfort and peace the most.
以赛亚书告诉我们，平安是从公义来的。
But Isaiah tells us peace comes from righteousness.
人在神面前有公义，我们就有平安。
If a man is righteous in front of God, we would have the man would have peace.
但是这些百姓的生活在神面前是不义的。
But these people live in a life of unrighteousness.
那先知没有改变他们的生活，只要满足他们这种喜欢听好的讯息，就告诉他们平安。
Instead,
没有问题，平安。
The prophets did not try to restore their lifestyle. Rather, the prophet tells them that there will be peace.
那其实没有平安。
But however, the peace will not come.
为什么？
And why is that?
因为人的罪在内心涌出来，好像这个。好像波浪一样，你怎么会有平安呢？
Because their sins were bubbling out like an ocean, and that would not be a source of peace.
先看十六节。
Let's look at verse 16.
这个抹墙的就是以色列的先知，他们指着耶路撒冷说预言建这城平安，这个意象其实没有平安。
It says that they saw a vision of peace, but there would be no peace.
啊，那先知传的警告，像以西结传的警告就是要悔改，这个是不好听的话。
But the message that Ezekiel preached was to repent, and that is hard to listen to.
悔改代表说当时的世代人有罪。
He preached the message of repentance because there was sin in the generation.
而且要在神面前承认罪。
And they had to admit their sins.
而且要离开罪。
They had to leave their sinful things.
而且要过义的生活。
And to live a new life of righteousness.
这个是很难听的讯息。
This is very hard to digest.
但是经过悔改的过程，人在神面前有了公义，平安自然就来到。
But if we, with a righteous lifestyle, then it's natural that the life will lead to peace.
但是这个假先知把这个悔改的步骤拿掉，要以色列百姓不需要改变，宣称平安已经来到，这个就是虚假的虚假的信息。
The false prophet's false message was that they preached peace without the step that's necessary to achieve peace.
如果一个人有了癌症，你一直告诉他你没有事情，这个是害他的。
It's like you tell someone with cancer to say that you will be you are fine, you're physically fine.
但是你告诉他你有癌症，当然这感受是很痛苦的，但你经过治疗你就好了，这个才是平安的来源。
Well, what you should say is to make the person realize that he has cancer and he has to go through the process of treatment and he may be better.
所以以色列百姓的命运就是被这个假先知这个虚假的讯息所误导。
So the future of the Israelites were misled by these false prophets.
这是第十三章讲假先知的误导。
Now that's the misleading of the false prophets in chapter 13.
那十四章开始就提到整个耶路撒冷充满着偶像。
Chapter 14 is described how idols filled Jerusalem.
什么是偶像？
What is an idol?
在第三节说人子啊，你将这些人，你将他们的假神接到心里，所以偶像就是假神。
An idol in verse 3 is a false god.
也就是不是神，但是坐在神的座位的那个就是偶像。
It's something else that sits at the seat of God.
我们心里面有一个神的座位。
In our heart, there is a seat for God.
所以祷告文说，愿人都尊你的名为圣。
In our Lord's Prayer says that may hallowed be thy name.
愿你的国降临。
May your kingdom come.
什么是神的国？
What is the kingdom?
就是神在作王，神在统治。
That's where God is the king.
我们把神接到心里，让他来作王。
We receive God to our hearts to be our king.
那神的国就降临在我们身上。
And his kingdom will come upon us.
那什么是假神？
What is the false king?
就是神以外的来坐在神应该坐的座位，那个就是假神。
The false god is anything else that comes to the seat of God.
那个就是偶像。
And that is our idol.
所以我们现在这个无形有形的偶像可能没有在拜啊。
We perhaps don't worship any physical idols.
但是我们有读过耶利米书里面讲三件事情。
We remember reading in Jeremiah the three things.
我们再回来看耶利米书第十章。
Let's read Jeremiah chapter 10.
耶利米书的第十章。
Jeremiah chapter 10.
二十三节。
Verse 23.
第十章二十三节。
Jeremiah 10 verse 23.
神如此说，智慧人不要因为他的智慧夸口，勇士不要因为他的勇力夸口，财主不要因为他的财物夸口。二十四节。
24.
夸口的劝谕呢，他有聪明认识我是神，又知道我喜悦在地上施行慈爱、公平、公义，以此为夸口。这个夸口就是表示我们觉得非常重要的一件事情，非常得意的一件事情。
What we would boast about are things that we're proud of.
那真的让我们生命中最重要的是知道有神。
The most important thing is that we recognize our life is full of God.
而且知道神喜欢什么。
And that we know what God's liking is.
所以我们能够照着神的喜欢来 过一个神所喜悦的生活。
And we may know to live according to God's liking.
那在我们心里面呢，常常有一些会取代神的地位。
But in our hearts, often many things replace God.
第一个就是智慧。
One is our knowledge.
头脑很聪明。
We may be very wise.
那我们在想教会的工作，都是用这个地上的聪明来想怎么样推展教会的圣工。
We want to advance the work of the church. We usually think of them in our own human wisdom.
那不需要祷告啊，因为这个头脑聪明的人很多。
Having wisdom doesn't require prayer.
就想想看怎么聪明能够想出来一个方法。
So we try to think and think how without praying.
那第二个是勇士，可以讲能力很大。
The second is warriors with mighty strength.
这个勇士人的能力会让有一个人假象，就对自己有一个自信心。
And these warriors would have much self-confidence.
让用自我的这个自信心产生一种自信这样要来做服侍神的工作，这个是危险的。
With a lot of self-confidence and assurance, when we try to do the work of God, we may fall into some mistakes.
所以保罗说，我过去认为有益的，我现在认知耶稣都当作有损。
Paul said that what I saw was valuable, now they're all rubbish.
因为过去认为有益的这个世界上的这些条件他发现呢，在服侍神的上面是没有什么益处的。
He realized that what he knew from his worldly studies could not be applied to the church.
第三个，财务，财主，财务。
Third is our wealth.
所以这个三件事情，如果都是神的恩典，如果不是很谨慎人会依靠这三件事情，而不是在依靠神。
These three things are all blessings from God, but they may become things we rely upon.Instead of relying upon God.
那我们心里面那个真的坐在王的座位里面的不是神。
And these may replace the seat that is in our heart for God.
所以十四章就讲充满着偶像。
Chapter 14 of Ezekiel says that there's full of idol.
那有假神在心里。
There are false gods.
那第二节里面讲说，这是把陷于罪的绊脚石放在面前。
In verse 2,It says that,
14章第二节,
in chapter 14, verse 3, it says that they put what causes them to stumble into iniquity in their hearts.
所以这个假神是让他们陷于罪的绊脚石，是绊脚石的。
These idols are stumbling blocks.
那因为有这个假神，所以神跟他们的关系就疏远。
And because of them, they become far away from God.
第五节。
Verse 5.
好在以色列人的心事上捉住他们，因为他们都借着假神与我生疏。
And that I'll seize the house of Israel by their hearts because they are all estranged from me.
所以我们心里面如果有什么比神更重要那神跟我们的关系就会疏远。
So anything that is more important to us than God is would cause us to be estranged from God.
因此一个人要在神面前跟神很亲近我们在心常常要在常常思想我们心里面最大的是不是神。
To get closer to God, we have to really think through what is greatest in our heart.
我们看约伯记的三十一章。
Let's look at Job, chapter 31.
约伯记的三十一章。
Book of Job, chapter 31.
约伯的义是神纪念的。
The righteousness of Job is remembered by God.
约伯的义是从敬畏神来的。
His righteousness stems from his respect and reverence for God.
那约伯的义既然是从敬畏神来的，是从内心出来的，不只是外在的行为。
Since this is something from his heart, his righteousness is not achieved by his behaviors.
二十四节。
Verse 24.
三十一章二十四节。
Chapter 31, verse 24.
我若以黄金为指望，对金金说：“你是我的依靠。”二十五节。
25.
我若因为财物丰富，因为我的手多得子财而欢喜。二十六节。
26.
我若见到这里就好。
We'll stop here.
像这件事情我们大家都会觉得这是神的恩典。
We see that these are all blessings from God.
但是约伯相当的敏感。
But Job was very sensitive to them.
如果一个人以黄金为指望，那他的指望就不是神。
He knew that if he put his hope in the gold, then he would not hope in God.
那如果一个人以金金为依靠，那他的依靠就不是神。
If he rely on gold, then he would not rely on God.
那如果一个人因为财务丰富而知财而欢喜，那他的喜乐就不是从神了。
If he rejoices in his wealth, then his joy would not come from God.
那这不是说不可以黄金、金金或者财务。
It doesn't mean we cannot own any gold or any money.
这是神的恩典。
These are blessings.
但是这不能够取代我们对神的盼望、对神的依靠以及从神来的满足。
But they should never replace the joy, the hope, and the confidence from God.
所以这个假神一接到心里面，我们跟神的关系就远了。
Once we've accepted an idol to our hearts, then we would be far away from God.
因此我们现在跟神的关系好像祷告，好像神离得很远，不一定。我们在行为上也没有犯奸淫，也没有偷人，也没有抢人。
Now when we feel that in prayer we're far away from God, doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong.
很可能是在我们生活当中，我们心里面有什么东西比神更重要，已经挡住了。
It may be that in our heart there's something more important than God and it's blocking us from God.
你每天所想的、所盼望的、所满足的不是神啊，那个东西啊，挡住了我们跟神的关系。
What is it that we think about all the time that we that is filling our heart and blocking us.
要把那个拿掉，我们跟神的关系就重新再亲密起来了。
We have to remove it, and then we can come to God.
我们现在回到以西结书十四章。
Let's return to Ezekiel chapter 14.
从十三节开始。
Chapter 14, verse 13.
我们先看第六节哈。主如此说：回头吧，离开你们的偶像。
Sorry, verse 6, it says, return away from your idols.
转脸莫从你们一切可憎的事情。
Turn your faces away from all your abominations.
因为以色列人寄居外邦的人，凡与我隔绝的，将他们假神接到心里，所以这个就是陷于罪的绊脚石。
These are the stumbling stones that cause them to sin.
那第九节，若先知被迷惑说预言，是我任凭先知受迷惑的。
So it says that if the prophet is induced to speak anything, then I have caused the prophet to say them.
那我要将他们从列国中除灭。
I will cause them to be destroyed.
那十一节，好使以色列家不再走迷路。
So that they would no longer go astray.
不再离开我。
That they would no longer go away from me.
所以这样看起来，以色列百姓离开神一个重要的原因就是假先知的误导。
It seems that a big reason the Israelites left God was because of the false prophets.
那从十三节开始神要降下四样的灾祸。
In verse 13 and on, there are four disasters.
这个每一件都是很可怕的。
Each one is very dreadful.
我们看二十一节。
Look at verse 21.
主如此说，我要将这四大灾，就是刀剑、饥荒、恶兽、瘟疫降在耶路撒冷。
The four severe judgments, the sword, the famine, wild beasts, and pestilence.
这个耶路撒冷就是圣城，神的城。
Jerusalem was the holy city of God.
没有降福神说四大灾殃要降下来。
He did not send four blessings, rather four judgments.
当然以当时的世代来讲，刀剑就是很多人会被杀。
In their terms, swords meant that many would be killed.
饥荒就是没有东西吃。
Famine is the lack of food.
那瘟疫就是指着传染病没有办法医。
Pestilence are diseases that can be spread around without cure.
那恶兽也可以指着当时侵略他们的国家，像兽一样没有人性。
Wild beasts.
侮辱他们
could be like foreign nations who were savages.
这是神对他们的一个惩罚，四灾齐降。
These are the judgments, and they would come at the same time.
那二十三节
verse 23.
你们看见他们所行的，就得了安慰，就知道我在耶路撒冷中所行的并非无故。我们在二十二节再读才会清楚然而从其中剩下的人，他们连儿带女必带到你们这里来，你们看见他们所行的要因我降福给耶路撒冷一切灾祸变得安慰。那这个灾祸一降下来，一定有很多人会埋怨为什么神是慈爱的降这么多灾祸呢？
You can imagine when the disasters come, many people complain and wonder why a merciful God would do this.
然后有一些人他就被掳就带到你们这里来，带到这个加勒底来， 然后看见他们的行为，就知道了为什么神允许灾祸，因为他们行为败坏了。
But the people who were taken to Babylon to Chaldea would be informed of the reason. That's because their actions were corrupt.
那就知道我在耶路撒冷所行的并非无故，就是神这样做是有原因的。
And these people would understand what he did in Jerusalem.
神不会没有缘故降灾祸。
And it's not without a reason.
好，那在神降灾祸当中啊，有三个人能够免治这个灾祸。
In the time of his judgment, three people can avoid the judgment.
先看十四节。
Look at verse 14.
其中虽有挪亚、但尼里、约伯这三个人，他们只能够因他们自己的义救自己的命，这是神说的。
He says the three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, could save their own lives.
所以在旧约圣经里面，这三个人变成是蒙神纪念的人。
These three in the Old Testament were remembered by God.
那神纪念他们是因为他们的义。
They were remembered because they were righteous.
所以我们在圣经里面看出来哈，这个。好像说启示录里面讲白衣有两种。
It's the righteous person. We remember in Revelation there are two kinds of white robes.
第一个白衣是用羔羊的宝血洁净的。
One is cleansed by the blood of the lamb.
是我们受洗的时候，主耶稣洁净我们的罪，我们穿白衣服。
It's the robe that is put on us during baptism.
那第二个白衣是羔羊婚宴的时候，这个新娘所穿的白衣。
The other white robe.Is what the bride wears in the marriage ceremony.
那这个就是圣徒所行的义。
And this represents the good righteousness of the saints.
也就是在实际生活这种义的表现。
And these are the behaviors or manifestations of their righteousness.
所以很明显的，我们将来要参加这个天国的筵席哦。这是神的恩典，但是跟我们的生活绝对的关系。
It would be out of God's grace for us to be able to go to heaven to enjoy the heavenly feast, but it also has to do with our daily life.
圣经说，神救我们不是因为我们的好，我们不是因为我们的义。
Bible says God saved us not because of our deeds.
乃是照着他的怜悯。
But according to His mercy.
然后借着重生的洗跟圣灵的更新。
And through a baptism and the rest.Transformation of the Spirit.
这是第一个阶段。
That's step number one.
我们会被神拣选，然后主耶稣宝血洁净你的罪，赏赐圣灵给我们。这不是我们好行为换来
的。In order that we are saved, it's not by our behavior or good deeds.
但是将来审判的时候，要照个人的行为审判个人，这跟个人的行为就有关系了。
But on the judgment day, our behaviors would be laid out.
所以这三个人哈，挪亚、但尼里、约伯这三个人义啊，蒙神纪念，这是值得我们来效法的。
And so our behaviors would count. And so here, the righteousness of Noah, Daniel, and Job were recorded.
在这个耶路撒冷遭遇这个四大灾难当中，如果这三个人还在，他可以得救，因为他们的义。
And that's worthy of our imitation, because they were the only ones saved.
所以。我们可以看到，神也是希望人行义的。
So God wants us to walk in the righteous way.
那我们现在休息回来我们再从十六章开始继续。
We'll take a break and restart in chapter 16.
一起来默祷。
Let's pray in silence.